back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody, to Anxious Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, for season two, episode one of the Jay Anxious Podcast. And I have a very special and random guest on the show with us this evening. I am talking to James P. Man Urbanic. Am I saying that right?
All
right.
Urbanic, you nailed it.
Urbanic, okay. James is originally from Ohio, now lives in Las Vegas. He is an aspiring poker professional. James, took me up on an offer. I had a guest back on me this evening, and I was definitely bringing back the podcast tonight, so I put it out there on Twitter to anybody, first come, first served, whoever wanted to be on the show. James took the opportunity, so here we are. We're going to talk to James. James, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking this on tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad I saw your tweet and was able to reach out and make something work. I was thinking about taking a nap, but this is much more interesting.
All right, man. So we were talking a little bit before the show started, so we get a little comfortable with each other here. But you told me that you are 26. You used to live in Ohio. Where at in Ohio, if you don't mind me asking?
Just south of Cleveland, closer to the Akron area.
Okay. And you moved to Las Vegas to be an aspiring poker professional. So tell us about how that started. When you started playing poker, you know, how'd you get into it? How'd you make the decision to uproot your life and move to a crazy city with no job, nobody else, just you? Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was introduced to poker at a very young age, maybe 7 or 8. My dad and I used to just play online. It was funny. I would be like 10 years old and he'd play a blind level, then I'd play a blind level. So we'd take turns every 10 minutes and he kind of taught me a general strategy. And I watched him over the years kind of play online, and he ended up winning a nice trip to Aruba where he got to play in like a $5,000 event. He won some money. And I knew from a very young age, a 9-to-5 job was never going to be my thing. I have Tourette's syndrome and anxiety and OCD, and like just having to be somewhere at a certain time 5 days a week. That's not the way I go. It's too much stress and too much demand on my life. So I knew I wanted something where I was going to be my own boss. I was going to be the one calling the shots, and my success was going to be determined by me. Like if I succeed or fail, that's on me. It's not on someone firing me or giving me the can. So, I started going to poker events when I had a little money, mostly Run It Up Reno, which was hosted by Jason Somerville. He's a great guy, great group of people. And I met a guy there named Derek. I got kind of drunk and was telling him about my life goals and life dreams in 2018. And he basically said, hey, we have a spare room. If you want to come out to Vegas for a few months, rent's cheap. So I took him up on that. I lived with him and his wife for 6 months in 2019. I only had about $4,000 and went through that pretty fast. Ended up working at a call center for a few months. Not fun. Do not recommend it. It was terrible. But I got the Vegas experience. I played in my first World Series of Poker. And ever since then, I had to go home due to financial issues. Just the money ran out, and luckily my parents were more than happy to have me come back. And ever since that experience, I knew that Vegas was where I wanted to be long term. And I started working as a software developer. I started investing in Bitcoin. And then when shit hit the fan with COVID, I was lucky enough to qualify for unemployment. And I hadn't been spending any of my money. So all those three factors combined, kind of for the first time in my life, I had a 5-figure net worth. I was able to just say, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go for it. Both of my parents are very supportive and proud of what I'm doing and how I'm choosing to live my life, even though it's not very standard. So decided to take the plunge and turned what I thought was going to be a 2-week trip in February into a 1-year lease staying on downtown Vegas.
Very nice, man. That is a very inspiring story you got there. So I want to rally around something, and I think this is very important for a lot of people to maybe to hear, or maybe to, you know, maybe even get a little jealous of. Let's talk about your parents' support.
Absolutely.
So your parents, what, gave you the money for a plane ticket back the first time, or how did that go down?
So the first time, I was very broke. Like I was telling you about the Reno experience. I had maybe $1,000 to my name, and I lost most of that. So when my buddy Derek gave me this offer to come live with him, it was so good I couldn't turn it down, but I had no money. So I approached my dad. I said, "Dad, I really want to make this work. Here's how it's going to work. If it doesn't work, here's what we're going to do. Can you help me out?" And he loaned me $5,000 in 2019. Yeah, I made the move. And when the money ran out, yeah, I didn't completely go bust, though. I still had like $800 to my name. But I came home, got a job as a software developer, paid my dad back in full within, I want to say, 4 or 5 months. And he was happy with that. There was never never any bad blood. I mean, he knew what he was getting into. He knew that poker is a game of variance and some luck. And I was nowhere near as skilled back then than I am now. I got in over my head with too little money too fast. But yeah, so when I got home, I just started working and paid him back and was able to put some money into Bitcoin and put some money into my pocket, and things just kind of kept going up from there in a positive way.
Very interesting. So I'm going to make a guess on something here, and I'm going to say that your dad had some intuition, and this, he knew that that wasn't the last try for you, and that $5,000 was still available when you were coming back out the second time, right or wrong?
It would have been. For my second time, I actually paid everything all by myself. I am living as a free man, no longer relying off of my parents. But if I ever found myself in some kind of financial trouble, yes, my father, he does very well for himself, and he would kind of be there for me if needed. Absolutely. I'm very blessed when it comes to my parents and my grandparents. Just my entire upbringing is not only when it comes to like money, but when it comes to like just sort of the relationship I have with my parents and my grandparents and my sister. We're very tight, and we're very supportive of one another and very understanding even through difficult times. We always just want everyone to be happy and do what makes sense. And that's kind of our motto. You know, if it makes sense, go for it.
That's great. I really like to hear that. So your dad does very well for himself. Does he own his own business, or does he work for somebody else?
He's an independent contractor. He is a project manager and business analyst. So he contracts himself out for multiple different companies.
Good for him. That's great. All right. So you spoke about Tourette's, which I haven't noticed anything that you've done so far.
Yeah, I actually roll my eyes quite frequently.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
so my wife. Is what it is. No, you said anxiety. Now, that's right up my alley. Anxiety, OCD, yes. ADHD, all those fun letters.
Oh, yes.
So where, okay, so you have your family is nuclear family, I'm assuming, or how many brothers and sisters do you have? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Yeah, I have, it's just two of us. I have one younger sister. She is 2 years younger than me, so she's going to be 24 in November. Okay. And she's with her boyfriend in Cincinnati, Ohio, and just where she went to college out there.
Well, what I'm getting at here is your parents are still together, I'm assuming, or is that right or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I get this all the time, you know, where does your anxiety, where do you think your anxiety manifests from, or where do you think it comes from?
Yeah, that That's a great question. And depending on, like, I feel like I've had different answers to this question at different ages throughout my life. At first, it was always school. I did not like school. I didn't do well in school. I didn't like the time commitment. And I didn't like, my mindset was, I have 5 days where I have to do this and then 2 days to myself. That ratio doesn't seem fair. So I was always stressed out about school, whether it be trying to fit in, whether it be trying to get good grades or just get school over with and play video games or do my own thing and make money. That's how it was for most of my teenage years. Then when I got older, it kind of, the anxiety kind of just manifested itself into like a way of living. I grew up very sheltered. I went to a Catholic school for K-8, and just high school and post-high school, I didn't go to college. So high school and post-high school were just really rough for me. And I just spent a lot of time in my bed and sleeping and just playing video games. And I would just, no matter what I was doing, I would just get random panic attacks. And if, I mean, you're familiar with anxiety. So like a panic attack for me, it would just come out of nowhere. I would be unreliable and unable to make plans or commitments because, like, let's say you want to get lunch next Thursday. Back then, I would have in my mind, shit, I have to be ready for Thursday. I got to go to bed at this time on Wednesday because I have to leave on Thursday. I got to shower. I got to do this. And I would kind of just stress it, and I would overthink it, and the anxiety would just get worse and worse. I would psych myself out into kind of having a full-blown panic attack over something. And at that time, the only way for me to relieve that anxiety would be to cancel my commitments.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was not very fun, and I felt bad because I blew a lot of good people off, and people who don't understand anxiety and kind of like how that whole situation works, they thought I was just being an asshole, and I never meant to be an asshole. It's just like, hey, I really just don't want to do anything. I want to close my eyes and lay in my bed all day. And right, even if I wanted to do something, it's just hard. It was hard to get up the willpower.
Here's the number one thing that you have to realize about anxiety is that absolutely nobody can understand anxiety and panic attacks who's never had it.
Absolutely.
You can't. And it took me a long time for me to understand that part of it, because I always felt like, you know, nobody knew what I would be talking about, or I didn't think that anybody else, you know, even would understand, because I didn't know if people had panic attacks or not. And it's not really something a lot of people want to bring up or talk about, right? It's a kind of like a hidden thing. And if you got really good at it like I did, you would never know that I had anxiety at all. Because
I never got good at it. Mine was fairly obvious, unfortunately, but I mean,
so let me ask you this then. When did that go away, or is it still with you?
It's still with me to some extent, but if I have a commitment, I stick to it. My major problem right now is insomnia, which is just a whole nother story. But my anxiety went away. I was seeing a neurologist in Ohio. And once medical marijuana was legalized, she prescribed me a medicine called Marinol, which was extremely high CBD and low THC. And that forever changed my life. I went from having maybe 3 attacks a day, being in bed for 50% of my waking hours. And maybe a month after I started the Marinol, I was up, I was doing things, I was going swimming, I was getting outside, which was something I just didn't do. I was finally experiencing life, maybe around, I think I was 20 or 21 when this happened, maybe 22. And now that it's completely legal, I take just regular edibles and tincture that have a high CBD, low THC. It really helps with the Tourette's and the anxiety. It's just like the whole kit and caboodle, you know, it's everything. So that kind of made my anxiety go from like a 9 out of 10 down to like a 2 or a 3 out of 10. And very thankful for that and very happy that we found a fix to what seemed like a never-ending battle.
It's interesting. Marinol, huh? I never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, and I'm going to grill you a little bit. What's your diet like?
Oh, boy. My diet right now isn't so good. I actually make vlogs on YouTube, just small ones. And the first couple of weeks I was in Vegas, I was stuck at Hera's hotel while I was looking for a place to live. And I just lived off of McDonald's and Chipotle and Panda Express. Now that since March, now that I've got my own apartment and I can get my own groceries, I'm eating better. You know, I like celery and peanut butter and a ham sandwich, stuff like that. But I do still have the easy microwavable kind of foods.
But yeah, that is a major contributor to your anxiety.
You know, I would not doubt that. I've been told I need to eat better, and I've kind of just nodded at that. I've never really focused on my diet. I have been trying to exercise more, which is something, but I'm not doing it enough. I'm doing it maybe once a week. I want to be at the point where I'm doing it 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah, look, the thing, like, exercise is one thing, and exercise is great for, you know, exercise isn't so great for anxiety. It's great for depression.
Absolutely.
And anxiety and depression are two completely different things, because I've never been depressed a day of my life.
Oh, really?
I've been anxious for 20 years.
Okay.
25 years. Shit, almost, you know? So, like, but I would no one would ever tell me that I was depressed. I was not depressed. I've never let my anxiety depress me.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, like, when I would have really bad anxiety, whether it be like a bad day or a bad week, that would almost always make me depressed. And I was diagnosed with clinical depression back when I was struggling with all of this. Now, not so much. But yeah, my anxiety, depression, and insomnia, they were kind of like the three main things of my mental illness, or however you want to explain it.
Well, it sounds to me, and I'm not trying to pick on you, because look, this
– Oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to help. What's your purpose? Like, what do you're trying to be a pro poker pro. Great. If you are, okay. So look, you play poker for a living. You don't do anything else. So considerably, you know, technically you are a poker pro, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But what are you trying to be a poker pro for? Like, what is
that? That's a good question. I have a great answer for that. So like I said earlier, I was born and raised Catholic, but I never really dove into religion. And a few years ago, maybe 2017, 2018, I was kind of just depressed. And I called my grandpa and I was like, "Grandpa, I don't know what to do. Can I come live with you or something?" And we ended up I found a church camp, and I volunteered at this church camp for a couple of weeks. And I had some really eye-opening experiences and dove deeper into my faith. And I believe my purpose in life is to spread the good word of the Lord. And as contradictory as some people may see playing poker and believing in God, I don't believe that playing poker or enjoying a luxurious life is a sin at all. I believe that the love of money is where the sin starts to come from, or the envy and the lust kind of part. So I want to become influential and make a name for myself and just be able to, like, kind of start charities and go places and change people's lives, because there are a lot of people out there. And I know like I was saying earlier, I'm extremely blessed when it comes to my upbringing. I never needed to worry about clothes on my back or food on the table. Not a day in my life have I had to worry about that. And I still don't have to worry about that. And I know that's a problem for a lot of people. And I want to get out there. I want to help put food on other people's tables. I want to help spread awareness, kind of like you're doing, for mental health and anxiety, and just be the best person I can be, whether it's about religion or without religion. I truly think that's a great way to spend one's life, is helping others and helping other people find their purpose and just, like, giving back to the earth that we come from.
Okay. All right. So your purpose is to spread the word of the Lord. I could get behind that.
Yeah, and when I say that, I'm not talking about standing on the sidewalks yelling Bible verses. I'm talking about just showing people the love of God, being there for a friend in need. Even people who aren't religious, just letting them know, hey, I'm here for you. If you need to talk, we can talk. And if someone's in need or down on their luck, I want to be in a position where I can help them financially or set them up to get to where they want to be and help them achieve their goals in life, whether or whatever they may be.
I love it. I love it. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's something I
don't think anybody. I don't think anybody who is religious, what would they have a problem with poker for?
There's just the Bible can be interpreted in many ways, and some people interpret the Bible verses about greed and money and gambling in the sense that this is not something anyone who believes in God should be doing. Whereas the Catholic stance on that is the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not evil. Money is a very valuable resource that people can use to help not only themselves, but other people, which is what I want, which is why I want to acquire not only money, but influence and fame so I can eat more easily. So I can, easily spread my goodness, whatever it may be. And it's just a couple of Bible verses that are taken out of context when it's really, you just got to watch your priorities. If my priority was, hey, I want to get rich. I want to go and do all the drugs I can. I want to sleep with every single sexy girl I can. I want to party it up and live the best life I can and only worry about me. That would be bad. And that comes from the love of money. But if you look at the bigger picture, you can kind of understand that that's not the case. And it's just something that is taken out of context from the Bible, which many things are, unfortunately. But
yeah, look, I mean, let's have a little conversation about that.
Sure.
Because it's funny that you bring that up. I was listening to a Jordan B. Peterson podcast today.
I'm a big fan of Peterson.
Huh?
I'm a big fan of Peterson.
Okay.
And his book.
You happened to catch the one with John Vervaek?
I did not.
Okay. And what they were talking about was like maps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan brought it up, the fact that the Bible is the map, okay? It's not the globe. So it's a map, right? And Christianity runs into a lot of problems with the dogma behind it, right? So that you're supposed to believe in every single word that the Bible says. But now me, I'm not a religious scholar, and take this as you will, but I don't think that anybody intended for everyone to follow every single word in the Bible to a T, because I don't think that's what God had in mind. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Not everything is there to be taken literally, especially Jesus' teachings and when he goes into his parables. They're stories. They're not necessarily like, oh, if I'm not a sinner, then I'm allowed to cast the first stone at someone. It's like, no, let's get the message behind what he's saying. It's
right.
It's not literal. It's him. It's like, I really like the New Testament and Jesus. And it's like Jesus trying to teach people of that time how to live a blessed and sacred life and how to be children of God. And he would speak to these people in metaphors and parables and just stuff like that. Not to live literal.
Yeah, you know, maybe I think it's a guide, right? It's not the way, it's a guide. Maybe it is like I'm going to get in trouble for that one, but if you could come as close to that, those teachings and everything in the Bible, you're probably going to be A-OK and your life will be fine, right?
Absolutely. And I would go further and argue that you don't even need to believe in God or be a religious person to be a good person. A lot of non-religious people actually live their lives in accordance to what the Bible says. Like, don't murder. You don't need to be religious to know that's not good. A lot of, like, just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean you're murdering people. I know that's an extreme example, but there's a lot of things that are in the Bible trying to, like you said, like give you a map or a guide for life on how to be a child of God. But even if that isn't the person's goal to be a child of God, there are a lot of people are still following what was kind of written 2,000 years ago. And I think that's very interesting.
Well, are they following it because it's in the Bible, or are they following it because it's a law, you know?
I don't think
even if prison was a 52-story mansion with a butler that cooks the best food on the planet, swimming pool and everything else that you could possibly think of, every luxury in life, but the only thing was that you could never leave it again, I don't think anybody would live there.
Right. I mean, you make a good point, but I think it's just kind of, it's rooted in our morals and conscience. And like, everyone has their own set of morals and ethics. And I would guess for the most part that a majority of humans just lean towards what the Bible says to be like.
Yes. Now, look, I think everything's circumstantial.
Absolutely.
So, you know, thou shalt not kill is a commandment, a number one, right?
I believe so. Or no, number one is you shall love the Lord God, the only God, with all your heart.
All right.
Thou shalt not kill is definitely one of the 10. I haven't read them in some time, but
okay,
it's one of the 10. I can tell you that much.
But there is definitely reasons to kill.
Yeah, I agree, and I support the Second Amendment. And when it comes down to it, if it was me or someone who was going to kill me, I would probably take their life. And does that go against God's teachings? That's something I don't necessarily have an answer to.
Well, of course it does.
I want to say I agree with you, but at the same time, you are probably correct, and I am probably incorrect. In if I want to be extreme and follow the Bible the way it was written and be like Jesus would want us to be, I should let that man kill me. But I think it's just human nature to want to survive. And with the laws and system we have in place, it makes sense to protect yourself and protect your family. So it's kind of that's a very interesting subject and very, very complicated. I mean, there's a lot of fine lines and threads that you can look into and view it from a different lens. And I don't have the answers to anything. Nobody really does. And that's
looking for the answers to anything. We're just having a discussion.
Oh, I'm always looking for the answers, man. I'm always trying to expand my mindset, and I want to be the best version of myself I can, you know? Like, you ever see The Good Place?
No.
It's hilarious. It's got Ted Danson and I forget the lady's name, I think. But it's just great. And it's like a metaphor for trying to be like the best version of yourself. And like, can humans improve if they are given the opportunity? And it boils down to, yes, they can.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to do here.
Absolutely.
This podcast isn't about making anybody worse. It's about making everybody, you know, giving them a little bit of an idea of, you know, maybe, or ideas of a lot of people who are, you know, successful and in what it is that they do. You know, so let's rally back here a little bit. Let's go rewind. I want to get back into the anxiety stuff. Religion's interesting and it's deep, and
it is. It's confusing as well. It can really get you sidetracked. And
well, yeah. I mean, look, I unfortunately don't know enough about it to have even a remotely intelligent conversation about it. So, but I was also raised Catholic. I went to catechism and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
got you know, a little. I got a little sidetracked on it, but I'm coming back. But I'm trying to be as good a person as I possibly can be for anybody that wants to talk to me.
Absolutely. And I think that's, like I was saying, you don't need to believe in God to be a good person. And a lot of people criticize religion for that reason. They're like, oh, you think because I'm not religious, I'm a bad person. No, not at all. Just be the best person you can be and go do good. You believe what you want to believe, you know, to each their own.
Well, fortunately, you know, I don't think anybody who's not religious is a bad person, but at the same time, we're all religious in some way. Like, if you're not religious, you're religious about something. It's just, what are you religious about, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, before you went to that camp, right, you were religious about your feelings, your discomfort, right? I mean, I've been there. That was my religion. That was my everyday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought about. That's what I followed. That's what I lived my life behind. I lived my life behind trying to find comfort no matter where it was. And a lot of times I came down to where I was even uncomfortable in my own home around people that I cared about and that cared about me.
Yeah,
and that's what was on my mind all the time.
No, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, just being uncomfortable in your own home around people who love you and care for you. And yeah, during that time, I wasn't necessarily praying a lot or looking to God for the answers or reading the Bible. I was worried on, okay, I feel like crap. How am I going to get out of this? And I was worried about me, myself, and I. And like, yeah, that was kind of, you could say, a religion of some kind of sorts.
Well, sure. I mean, but at the same time, I think anxiety takes a lot of different stances in people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my anxiety was stemming from, I wasn't being the person that I was supposed to be in this world. I was being something else. I was being some kind of degenerate who didn't care about things, right? You know, I was really overweight, smoking cigarettes, drinking way too much. Now, I was never an alcoholic, but
mm-hmm.
And I had major gambling issues. Like, I never really got into poker. I played a lot of poker with friends just because it was something to do. But poker is not fast enough for me, so I don't really get into it all that much. I can play – now, can I play at a level that you're playing at? No, I don't even contend to try. But, you know, everybody gets two cards, and sometimes you'll beat pros and, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, I've played with them before, but, you know, it's not like I could say that I was, you know, even remotely close to that. But I took more to the casino gambling style and I'm actually, like, I still do casino gamble, but, like, I took it too far on football betting and stuff like that several times. So, but I was living a life with no challenges. My worries were, am I comfortable? And I was always anxious because I was always looking for my next dollar to find somewhere else to do something else with, or, you know, hiding stuff from people and everything else. So that my life was a shit. It was a shit show. And, you know, that's where a lot of my anxiety came from. Now, when I was in school, I had a lot of anxiety too, but that was just from like thoughts running through my head. And I didn't fix it till about two, three years ago. When I really changed my diet and I found out that it was mostly my diet that was causing my problems with anxiety. And then it was my habits and lifestyle. And, you know, finding a purpose. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's just what I was going to say. I think a lot of my anxiety came from just living day to day and not really knowing what tomorrow had in store and not having any realistic goals or dreams or purpose. I didn't know what I wanted to do or who I was going to be. And I was just trying to get by doing the bare minimum. And that made me depressed. That made me anxious. And that's not a good way to live life, in my opinion. You've really got to find your purpose and you got to go after it with all your heart.
Absolutely.
That's hard. That's hard to find your purpose.
So let's backtrack a second. You said that you didn't know what the next day was going to be like. I think you're wrong because I always knew what the next day was going to be like. The next day was going to be like the day before. I was going to be anxious and I was going to be nervous. And at what time of day it was didn't matter. It was going to come and go and come and go and come and go. And what happens is you just look for ways to relieve yourself of any kind of discomfort that you can, right? Because anxiety is a disease of comfort. You're constantly seeking comfort. And for you, it was laying in your bed as long as you possibly can and hoping that nobody came up and said anything to you about you being lazy or I don't know how it was like or what it was like or just somebody telling you, hey, James, get the fuck out of bed. You know, absolutely. You got to do something.
Yeah, that's something I definitely tried to avoid. Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely knew what tomorrow was going to have in store for me. I had no big picture for myself. And I when you get caught up with anxiety, it's just like you don't see a way out. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, I was taking the medicine my doctor prescribed me, and I was trying to get out of this funk that I found myself in, but I went about it the wrong way. I didn't have a good mindset. And same as you, I wasn't eating well. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't doing anything well except for just playing video games. And that's no way to live a life. I mean, granted, I love video games. I still play them. I don't think there's anything against video games. But if you're sleeping 18 hours a day and then playing video games for 6 hours a day, that you probably got a little bit of a problem.
All right. So what video games do you play?
Back when I had a lot of anxiety, it was mainly online games, you know, just so I could talk with friends and shoot the shit, kind of get out of my own head. I was really big into Fortnite when that first came out. I don't play it anymore. Now I really like first-person shooters. Call of Duty. I'm playing the Wolfenstein series for the first time and really enjoying that. I play some deck-building games like Hearthstone. I used to play a lot of RuneScape just because that's very back when I had like the call center job or just a job in general. It was just something to have on the other screen, you know, chopping down trees or fishing or whatever.
So do you play Call of Duty now?
Yeah, yeah. I not as much as I used to. I've been really trying to spend my time in more productive ways because I spent way too much time playing video games in the past, so I got to make up for it. But yeah, yeah, I like Call of Duty. I really like the zombies as well.
I play Call of Duty. My brother actually is a Twitch TV streamer. He's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's at Stitch_com_50, COME. And I play under Jay Anxious, obviously. So, yes, if you see just Jay Anxious out there in Call of Duty, that really is me. So if you ever want to play some time, look me up. I'm on there.
Absolutely.
Once in a while at night, Eastern time, later on after the kiddies get to bed, we get together. I'm on his team with a couple other guys, and, you know, we're pretty good. So.
Yeah. You mentioned Twitch TV. I actually used to stream on there almost every day. Now I do it maybe once or twice a week. It's a very fun outlet. It's a way to meet people and kind of have fun with others with video games and getting to know people. I enjoy that a lot.
Well, absolutely. Well, feel free to plug yourself. Where are you at on Twitch?
Yeah, sure. It's P Man Pray. It's just PmanPrays.
Okay.
And that's P-Man the same Pray. That's the same as my YouTube channel. I've been vlogging just kind of my adventures in Vegas from moving out here and taking the dive in to finding a place to playing and winning to playing and losing. All the ups and downs, I document everything on my YouTube vlog.
All right, so what's your game in poker? Texas Hold'em, I'm assuming?
Hold'em and Texas Hold'em.
That's it?
That is probably 90% of it, yeah.
You don't play Omaha or anything?
I dabble in Pot Limit Omaha. I prefer the high-low variation, but I am very unskilled. I lose money at that. And same as the mixed games. Like I really enjoy like the stud games like Raz. I enjoy Deuce of Seven Triple Draw and the other crazy banana games, but it's not a secret that I'm losing money there. So okay. I keep that to the low stakes for if I want to have fun. But when it comes to studying and trying to make a living, that's exclusively No Limit Hold'em. I would like to be a tournament pro, but recently I've been playing a lot of just low stakes cash games because I was able to get just a high enough hourly where it's like the variance will level out as opposed to tournaments where you could spend $5,000 and lose every single tournament and be nowhere because a pro is only going to make the money 15 to 20% of the time.
Right.
And the tournaments have a lot more luck that you need to get not only like get to the final table, but get in that top three where you're making maybe 50 to 100 or even more times your money back.
Well, let me know. I would love to be a sponsor of yours if you ever get, you know, to the point where you need sponsors and stuff. You could
put one absolutely for the World Series of Poker, which was delayed this year due to Corona. It starts September 30th. It runs until December 4th, and yeah, usually I sell 30 to 40% of myself so I can kind of, if I have like $10,000, but I want to play closer to $15,000 or $20,000 worth of tournaments, I'll do exactly what you said. I'll find backers or sponsors and kind of spread myself out a little so that if I take one bad beat in a $2,000 tournament, it's not really $2,000 of my own money. It's maybe closer to $1,200 or something around that.
Yeah, I will definitely let me know when that's coming around. I will definitely
absolutely. I'll shoot you a message.
I'll get you a patch or something, a sticker. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I would love that. We can talk more about that another time.
Awesome, definitely. awesome. So, all right. So you're saying low stakes cash games. Like, what are you playing? 2-5, 1-2, 5-10. Like, what are you playing?
Yeah, mainly. When I got out here, I was playing a lot of 1-2, and I was doing so well, I didn't feel a need to move up. My hourly was just insane. I knew it was unsustainable. It was like $80 an hour that I was making across 100 hours. And then the downswing happened, and I had an unfortunate night where I had taken my sleep medication, and I couldn't sleep, and went out with some friends, got drunk, and lost a chunk of change to like blackjack and roulette and stuff. So since that happened, I've been doing a lot more studying than I have been playing. And to supplement my income, I'm going to most likely be dealing cards instead of playing cards for a couple of months. And we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, when it comes to the cash games, I can beat the 1-2, I can beat the 1-3, and I'm looking to move up to 2-5 and then 5-10 within the next 6 to 12 months, we'll say.
Nice. Very nice. So you broke rule number one. You took your bankroll to the regular casino.
Yes, sir.
The only way you learn, man. It's rule
number one. Yeah, absolutely. I have no excuses for my behavior. I was very ashamed and embarrassed of myself. But, I mean, like I said, I'm a very open person. I'm not going to brush it off or hide what happened. I lost more than I could afford to lose. And I degened it up hard. That's what happened, man. And I learned my lesson. Now I know, and with a smaller bankroll to work with, and it's kind of put a light on things. And this is like my first time really living on my own, paying for everything by myself. So it was like an oh shit moment. I absolutely, under no circumstances, can ever do that again. So I am on a long-term hiatus from the pit games.
I know how you feel. No, I've done that with my rent money several times. I've done that with a lot of things. There's even a time where I didn't get a paycheck for a couple months because I would get the paycheck, go right to the casino, and lose it every single Friday.
It can be very addicting if you let yourself fall into that trap. And
well, sometimes the worst thing that could happen to you is you could win.
Oh, yeah, because you'll lose even more in the long run.
I've had a couple of five-figure days at the casino that I've taken home. They were nice, but then you're like, that can happen again. That can happen again. And I've had numerous four-figure days, high four-figure days. But I've also had numerous minus four-figure days. I've never had a minus five-figure day. I've never walked into the casino with five figures in my hand.
Good, that's good.
Before, but
yeah. I mean, there's a reason Las Vegas is so beautiful. These casinos don't build themselves. You know, if the house didn't have an edge, they wouldn't be here. So
it is not built on winners, man. It is not absolutely built on winners. No, nope.
That's what I love about poker. The casino doesn't care if you win or lose because they're just taking the rake. So poker, you're playing against other people. If you're better than them, most of the time you're going to be making money.
Yeah, so my other guest just got back to me. He was waiting for me to call. I sent him a link, link that you and I were on. Ay, ay, ay.
My sincere apologies, other guest.
No, it's fine. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that.
No, take your time.
Yeah. So, I mean, he took a big risk there, and it's, you know, I have a big soft spot in my heart for that, because I like that kind of stuff. I like that, you know, you did that. So you failed the first time. Did you always know that you were going to go back the second time?
Yeah, I knew it. And the first time I knew I was a little over my head, but I had my buddy and his wife and a really good support group. I didn't have the life experience or the financial stability to really make a go for it. And I convinced myself that I was a better player than I really was. And on top of that, I spent more time playing tournaments instead of cash games. So along with my lack of skill and the lack of money, there was also the variance and the luck factor involved. And I couldn't hit anything. I think I maybe won one. I came in like third for a tournament for like $1,000, and I had half of myself. I think that was the only notable win I had in 6 months. And that's nowhere near making anything. So I knew when I got home, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this software development job for a year or two. And once I have financial stability, I'm finding a place in Vegas and I'm going back. I'm going to study. I'm going to take it more seriously. And that's kind of what happened.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I like that. And for a guy with, you know, your anxiety and insomnia and all those other things, it's a big step. So, you know, you took a bad night. You had, you know, you made a mistake. You're a young man still, 26. Now some people call it adult. I'm almost 40 and I'm not even close to grown up yet. So.
Right. No, that's good. It's good to stay young at heart.
Yeah. I mean, so what's next? You're going to take this job as a dealer. You're going to build your bankroll. You're going to learn the game more. You're going to get to watch the world's best play, right? Is there a specific place that you're going to take? I mean, you don't have to mention if you don't want to, but.
Yeah. No, there's a place down the street where I put in probably about 80% of my hours as a player. It's a small room. It's not one of the bigger ones. And it's a Sahara poker room, and they have phenomenal floor staff. They have great dealers. And I was just talking to the poker operations manager maybe a couple months ago. And I was like, hey, you know, if shit hits the fan, I'm going to be probably looking for a dealer gig. And he basically said, we'd love to have you. And I'm auditioning for that position next week. So I am fairly confident that I will get the position and yeah, just build the role, work my ass off for a couple months while playing poker and studying, and see if that gets me any success.
Very nice. So you got your license and everything then?
I'm going to be getting that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of different depending on what casino you're going to deal at and how they go about the process.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm hoping for nothing but the best for you. So, if you want to go ahead while we wrap up this show, if you want to go ahead and tell everybody where they could find you, all your places that you got your content on, and we could get that out there for everybody to find your stuff.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just want to thank you, Jay, so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you and being on this podcast. This was my first podcast, so I hope this makes some good content for you.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, you can find me on Twitch or YouTube, P-Man Prays. You can also just type in my name, James Urbanic, which is URBANIC. I'm also on Twitter at JUrbanic95. And those are the main places I hang out on. If anyone ever wants to reach out, I'm always down for a chat. Just like Jay is, you know, just put yourself out there, do good things and live a wonderful life.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So yeah. Thank you very much for taking me up on my offer. I really appreciate it. You know, 50 minutes goes really fast here. That was a great conversation. And, you know, I hope that, you know, we continue to stay in touch here as we go along. And I hope, you know, to watch your career, and I hope to see you on TV sometime. And for sure, look me up about that sponsorship when you're getting ready to play in the World Series. Build that bankroll so you can get in a couple good tournaments. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, Jay. It's been a pleasure. Likewise, I'm sure we will stay in touch.
All right, James, thanks very much for being on the show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for coming back here for the start of season 2. I really appreciate it. As always, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JAnxious. My website is JAnxious.com. Check out my podcast and the show and all my previous shows anywhere, Apple, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts, I'm on. Thank you very much for being on tonight, James. And we're going to finish up now. And remember, everyone, listen and learn. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Bye.